For six generations, the Jones family has been providing high-quality meats. And now, we're providing treats for the best member of your family, man's best friend, aka the goodest boys and girls. Jones Natural Chews makes bones and treats that are sure to be savored by your dog, and are made from the best natural ingredients available. Our flavorful chews are made from natural animal parts, and will have your puppy drooling with happiness. From treats like sticks and chews to savory bones and patties, we've got you covered for finding the perfect reward for that special pup in your life. Jones Natural Chews come in all sizes, so make sure to choose the right treat for your pup. And remember, it's important to be supervising your pup when they're enjoying their treats to keep your puppy safe. Jones Natural Chews, available at a pet store near you. Or visit jonesnaturalchews.com to get started with our store locator tool. That's Jones Natural Chews, available at a pet store near you.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Sequoia Blue, back in here another episode. Today, our special guest is Nizma, and she is a songwriter, music producer, and vocalist, and business person, and she also is an out-of-the-box thinker like me, so that's awesome. So
nice.
Hello. So, Nizma, what made you want to tread the murky waters of the music industry?
Oh, man. I feel like I didn't have a choice. You know, it's one of those things where you just get bit by the music bug when you're young and then you just can't stop. So for me, that's how it happened. I was really young. I fell in love with songwriting and then, you know, one thing led to another.
Wow. So when did you start? Were you like 12 and you was in school? Were you in a church or anything?
Well, I mean, yes, but that's not where it started. I actually started writing songs. I mean, albeit terribly, when I was around 7 or 8, believe it or not. And I would just kind of have these ideas and write them down. And I just loved the process. And then as I got a little bit older, I started picking up instruments. And, you know, we had this old upright piano in our garage that was just kind of sitting there that somebody had given us. And I would just go out there and just, you know, tinker around with it. And then I ended up teaching myself piano that way. And then, and then I just, you know, picked up the guitar and then I picked up music production and then it just kind of kept snowballing.
Wow. So you're self-taught yourself how to make your own beats.
Yeah. Yeah.
What advice do you give someone that is trying to learn how to make their own beats? I'm in the process of learning and I'm sure other people are in the process. And it's like, some people don't want to go and get that loan, go to that trade school and get all that. They might just want to learn from home.
Yeah. Like, I interrupted you. I don't think you need to go and spend a bunch of money on a fancy school. I would say if you have just the time and the willingness to suck until you don't, then you can learn everything you need to know just online, you know, YouTube University. The best way to do it is to just start. And like I said, be willing to be bad at it for a really long time until you're just not, and it'll click one day or over a, you know, a period of time after you've put in enough hours. And then what you hear in your head is going to start to come out of the speakers and it's going to be great.
You know what? That's true. Cause you know, Andre 3000 just released an album and it was all flute. He didn't have any traditional training. He didn't know the notes, music notes or nothing. He just went freestyle.
That's
and
incredible.
It sounded amazing. So he said now he has to actually learn it because if he goes perform live, he's not going to remember it.
Yeah, true. So got himself into quite a situation there.
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, check it out because I think that, you know, I don't know if you experienced this, but sometimes there's a box with African-American artists. Like we're put in a box to where you got to just rap. Mm-hmm. You got to just do R&B and that's it. And I think Andre was trying to make a point by saying, hey, I want to do a meditation album. I don't want to break this mold. You know, what do you think about that as a producer and someone as successful as you are?
Yeah, I think it's so key and so important. And I mean, I'm Middle Eastern and, but I'm half white. So I would never go on here and say that I experience the same level of oppression as others. But, you know, I am a woman in the music industry and I am I'm a producer woman in the industry. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think a lot of it is just it's about being intentional about having those conversations and really being willing to work on your own awareness in terms of the boxes that you're accidentally putting others into. And you know, it's that, that's that active anti-racism work that's so crucial and I think missing in the industry. But yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. I love that, you know, like Lizzo plays the flute and she incorporates that. And I think that that's just one step further to kind of dismantle some of those stereotypes.
Yes, that's definitely. And also just like you said, women being, and you know, I'm also in tech as well and in music, and you know, it's sometimes it's like they don't listen as much as they would to a man. So it's almost like you got to really stand 10 toes down. You got to be, and you know, being, when I was a young woman trying to get music, I was, you know, sometimes if you're not careful, you can get into the wrong hands.
Yep.
What advice can you give to somebody that's like a woman that's 19, 20 years old, and she's like, my mom don't want me to do music. I don't got nobody to help me. I can't afford studio equipment. How can they protect themselves in the studios? You know,
That's such a great question. And I would say, you know, it's hard to know people until you know them, but I would say have really clear boundaries going in, and just kind of feel them out in terms of their conversation. So I think people tend to reveal themselves pretty quickly in one way or another, depending on the questions you ask. So if you're, you know, if let's say you have an opportunity to meet up with some guy producer, ask him questions, you know, ask him like, when was the last time you collaborated with another woman, another female artist? And what was that experience like? If I talked to her, would she have good things to say? And based on those answers, you know, and a lot of the times you'll get no response, right? Which is a bad sign. But just based on those answers, that should give you enough information to know, okay, is this a safe person? Because if they're very open about it and they're like, oh yeah, here's her number, call her anytime, that's a good sign, right? It means that that person is probably clean and respectful. So just kind of using like a pre-screening process before you actually go and meet someone, especially if you're going alone. I think that that's so important and so helpful and can prevent a lot of these terrible interactions that happen way too often.
Yeah. Are getting manipulated, you know, you know, ask somebody, ladies, like, even if you don't have a family member or cousins or nobody to talk to, ask somebody else and say, hey, this sound right to you, this person. I remember when I was in college, this guy was telling me to move into his house with these other girls. So I can do the girl group, whatever.
Oh,
and he
said,
move into his house. This was in Atlanta. You know, Atlanta, you know, was
Red flag.
Place for music.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm not, and I was only 19. I really wanted to do music. I was born in Orange, Atlanta. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. That's because I just, even though I didn't have that the support system, but I
but you had the wherewithal.
I just had the knowledge. I said, no, I'd rather just wait. I'd rather not get where I want and just wait. And that's what women should, like, that's what girls should do. And that's what I try to tell women. Like, don't feel like you got to rush because they tell you, you got to be 25 to be a singer. No, you know, do it your way, especially if you're not trying to be, you know, because that's the thing. Like, sometimes they want you to be a pop singer. They want you to just follow the pop singer role. And I don't see anything wrong with pop singers, but some artists don't just want to be a pop singer.
Yeah.
So it's just about having that patience and not just saying, okay, I'm just going to go and live in somebody's random house, you know?
Yeah. And it's also about, you know, having that love and respect for self, right? That like, I'm not just going to go and say yes to the first person who gives me compliments, right? And it's about having that like bolstered sense of worth, not just in yourself, but in your music and your purpose, and just believing that, you know, you're actually the one who should be choosy about the guys you work with, you know, and not being on the other, you know, switching that dynamic where you're sort of like just grateful for any sort of validation. So that mindset shift can really make a big difference, I think.
Snap.
Yeah.
That's very true. I love that you said that because it's a tough industry, but it could be fruitful.
Oh yeah.
And what is your thoughts on independent artists? Because I know that's a big conversation. You know, Akon mentioned on I think it wasn't the Breakfast Club, but he was on one of those podcasts. I watch a lot of podcasts, but he was saying that he'd rather be the label because it's more structured than being independent. But to me, being independent is freedom, and also a lot of artists may not have that opportunity to be with a major. What advice can you give independent artists that want to just do music full time? Maybe they don't want to work a job. Like, what can they do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad you brought this up, because my main thing that I do is sync licensing, which is licensing music to film and TV. And I teach other artists to do that as well, because it's so hard to make an income from music otherwise, right? If you're going the independent route. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, if you're going to go the independent route, I applaud you. I mean, I'm going the independent route. I actually don't like record labels. I think that they're very predatory, and it's very investment oriented. And they're just kind of focused on numbers, and, you know, that's their job. They're a business. But if you're going to go the independent route and you want music to be your full-time job, as in your, you know, one of your main sources of income, and have that sort of creative and financial freedom, then I would say you should definitely investigate sync licensing and see if that is an avenue that could work for you, because it can fund the, not only is it fun to make that music, but it can fund financially the music mm-hmm. that you want to make for your artist project. So it's kind of, you create this kind of internal independent mm-hmm. system, where you're not reliant on anybody else to tell you what to do, you know, and mm-hmm. that's true freedom to me, right? You kind of just get to make the music you love and get paid for it and grow from there.
You know what? That's so true, because I'm actually trying to get into sync licensing, you know. Now tech became, like, I would say, quote unquote, my record deal, because that's what funded my recording studio, is getting in tech.
Yeah.
I like tech. I don't like it as a regular job, but mm-hmm. I like technology.
Yeah.
But it saved me in a sense, because, you know, a lot of times when you're trying to, people want you to focus on one thing, and I get why. But at the time I said, I don't want to keep going to these studios, these guys. I want to depend mm-hmm. on them. I want to have my own studio. And I had to learn tech.
Yeah.
Now, what I was going to say was that, so some of the independent artists, if they got to figure out what they want to do, right? So let's say they don't really want to do cover songs. I know this girl out mm-hmm. here, she's killing it with cover songs at casinos. I'm in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So sync licensing, I saw Broad Jam, all these different sites. Oh, I mean, you know, I know you have a program, but what's something you can tell somebody, some advice you can give someone to get into sync licensing? And do they have to have variety of different types of songs? See, mm-hmm. because you might have to have one ratchet song, you might have to have one jazz song, you might have to have one country song. If you're that versatile, aren't you more, it's more opportunity for you to get selected?
Well, yes and no. It all depends, right? And
the
beautiful thing about sync licensing is that it's not just the music industry. It's the film and TV and ad industry. And if mm-hmm. you just take 1 minute to think about how huge that is, you can imagine that the opportunities in terms of the needs for different genres are unlimited. You know, there's mm-hmm. TV shows that are, you know, based in the 60s, and there's TV shows that are based in the future and then the 1800s. And there's TV shows, you know, mm-hmm. that are based in today's time, and they're using all sorts of music, you know? So in that sense, mm-hmm. sync licensing is for everyone. However, I have found in my experience that if you focus on two or three sort of similar genres, you have more success, only because after you do it a while, the people you work with, so the agencies and the music supervisors, they kind of get to know you for that sound. And then you become the go-to. Let's say if you're a hip hop artist, or, you know, a top 40 or whatever, you know, and they go, oh, they think of Sequoia. Okay, Sequoia does that, right? And then they're more likely to go to you because they know that that's kind of your area of expertise. So I found that that's helpful. But yes, if you can do it all, do it all, you know, just try to narrow it down to a few different ones as your main thing so that you can sort of build up that reputation as somebody who delivers well in that area. And what I'll say to your first question is, if somebody wanted to get started in learning about sync licensing today, just go to YouTube, right? And Google what is music licensing. And then you'll probably have to watch a few videos, maybe spend an hour or two of your time and just understand the basics of what it is. Then the second thing I would do is go through your catalog of music or songs that you have written already. And they can be, they don't have to be finished. They can be ideas, they can be demos, whatever. And just pick 3 to 5 of them that you think, I could hear this in a TV show, or I could hear this on an ad. And then find a community, a free community on Facebook or whatever. There's hundreds of them out there, you know, Facebook groups and stuff, and just join them and be like, hey guys, what do you think of these songs for sync? And start to get some feedback, right? And then that feedback is going to help you learn, okay, how do I really write for sync licensing? How do I actually get involved? And then once you've got a catalog, you know, of 2 to 3 finished songs that are strong for sync licensing, so songs that really work for film and TV, once you've got those and they're done, then you just start pitching them to agencies, and you just Google music licensing agencies. Those are the people who pitch the music to the opportunities that pay, right? And you just submit your music to them, and you just Google music licensing agencies, and you're going to get hundreds of them that come up. Submit to the ones that use your kind of music. So you got to do a little bit of research. And then, you know, it's a numbers game at that point. You know, if you submit to 20 agencies, maybe 3 will get back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And they'll say, yes, we want your music. Great. And then from that point, they're just going to start pitching your music. And it can be as simple as that. Now, that whole process can take months, of course, especially if you're doing it on your own and without any guidance or mentorship. But you can do it. You know, anybody can do it if they start today. So that's my spiel on that.
Man, I mean, this is exciting for me because artists now can have some hope that they can actually do this full time because, you know, I'm trying to get into sync licensing, which I'll be booking with you soon.
Yeah, do it. Come on over.
Just me with that because I just, you know, I'm on Broad Jam, but it's, you know, I can't tell you I'm going 100%. I'm not.
Sure.
Because it's certain, you know, I'm still trying to, I'm recording at home. I'm trying to learn certain things. And sometimes, you know, like you said, that investment, you do have to invest to get engine, you know, mixing properly and all that stuff.
So sure.
Some artists, you know, and because I'm not a good mixer yet, but I'm trying to get there.
Yeah.
So, basically, I saw that you also have a bit like a Airbnb.
Yeah, I do short-term rentals. Yep.
So what made you get into that as well on the side?
My love for music. I wanted to start building financial freedom. At the time, I was working in restaurants post-college, just trying to figure out what the hell to do and how to make this music thing work. And so I was like, all right, well, Airbnb was kind of a starting to get popular at the time. And so my ex-partner then and I got into it, and it's proved to be really a great investment. And, you know, I would say that it's starting to get really saturated. So I would caution anyone looking to get into it to just be really careful and do your research. But it's been a really great source of investment income.
That's amazing because I believe in diversifying your income because that's important. And like I said, you know, they say be a master of, what was it? Master one is better than
a master of none. Master,
yeah. So basically saying if you become a master of several things is better than a master of one. It was some type of quote like that.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
If I hadn't segued in tech, I would have been. It just would have been different right now for my life. And
absolutely.
You know, that's why I tell artists, please be open to doing certain things because tech is close to music. Everybody in tech does music. Like, I mean, I'd be like, oh, dang, you're good at logic. You're good at this. What's a good DAW system that you recommend for people? Because, you know, logic, you got GarageBand. I use GarageBand right now because I'm a baby, but.
GarageBand, you know, honestly, I say Logic is GarageBand's older sister, right?
Yeah.
GarageBand, you can get enough done that you need to get done in order to make something that sounds viable. But when you upgrade to Logic, and I use Logic, and I recommend Logic, especially for people who are starting out, because I think it's very intuitive, as opposed to Pro Tools, because Pro Tools is more for huge audio editing. Like if you're recording orchestras or, you know, 10-piece bands, and you need all of that functionality, and you can do that in Logic too, but I think the interface is set up more for producing tracks, you know, beats and stuff like that. But yeah, GarageBand is a great place to start, especially if you're just starting from nothing. Definitely get into GarageBand. It's free if you have a MacBook. Just go in there, play around, get familiar with the process of piecing music together. And then when you feel like GarageBand, you'll know when you feel like, I can't do what I want to do right in GarageBand, then it's time to upgrade to the big sister Logic.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
It is not bad because I just bought the Apple Mini, like that little computer in the little box.
Yep.
I just bought it. And it, because I now bought the big boy because I wanted the terabyte.
Yeah.
I wanted all that terabyte. So I said, okay, so I'm excited to use my Mini, and I'm about to get the Logic.
Yes, do it.
Because I have a song called Whiskey coming out, and I want to get a whiskey deal.
Yes, I love that.
So a rapper that was doing that, and he would work with, you know, he was very brass and confident. Mm-hmm. And I think confidence matters in music industry. He was so confident in himself, like couldn't tell him nothing. He'll get out there, he'll meet with the biggest of the biggest. And he was smart to boot. Yep. He read very well. And that's how he was getting these liquor placements and stuff. He was just working with liquor companies.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing. That's what I'm trying to do, is get that. So I can't wait to talk to you more about that.
That's very smart. Yeah, definitely. Send it over. I'd love to hear what you're working on too.
Well, it's messed up because I made a beat myself. The voice sounds fine, but then when I'm like the beat. And the crazy thing is, one thing I want to talk to you about too is that sometimes as an artist, you can record a song, right? And you produced it, but then you can't find somebody to help you with the beat because they don't get it. They don't get your vision.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
It is hard.
You know, but what would you say to somebody? Like maybe they have to, because I guess that'll be a band. I don't know if it'd be a band though, because it depends on what type of song you want.
Well, I would say the first step is, because music is a language, right? And even music production has its own language. I would say know enough about your vision and learn the language of music production enough to be able to communicate to an outside producer. Let's say, I don't think you need to be getting in a band, so to speak, like you said, in order to have good collaborators. But I do think learning this language of music production just on a very basic level will help you communicate with someone that you're hiring so that you can more efficiently tell them what you want, so that there's less of the back and forth and frustration, potentially you not getting the sound that you're craving, you know?
Yeah. Just don't go to Fiverr.
Yeah.
You know, don't go to Fiverr all the time. Like,
you know, there's great people on Fiverr, but again, you have to be able to, you can't just expect those people to read your mind, right? You have to be able to communicate exactly what you want. And references are a great way to do that too, because references, like sending like 3 or 4 reference tracks and being like, match this vibe. That'll get you 80% of the way there if they're a smart producer, you know?
There we go. Because when I sent it to them, they were like, oh, it sounds good the way it already is. There's nothing I can do. I'm like, I'm a real producer. How does it sound good the way it is? So I thought that was interesting. I'm going to send it to you and let you tell me. But
For sure.
I want to talk about artificial intelligence.
Mm.
So what is your thought on that? You know, there was a situation with Drake. Somebody pretended they were Drake. They took his voice, his likeness, and Drake had to go and sue him and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
And find them. And it's a lot of that going on with AI. People are even making beats with AI. Do you think that's getting into the pockets of producers, or is it enhancing the producer?
That's a great question. I think we are not going to know for a while really how it plays out. But what I will say is we are already using AI in everything we do. Right. So even when you open up a Logic session, there's tons of artificial intelligence already at work. Right. Mm-hmm. The plugins that we use, the sounds that we're using, the MIDI instruments, that's all artificial intelligence already that we've been using for years, right? So mm-hmm. I think like anything, it's going to be a pendulum where, because humans, we always go to the extremes, right? Mm-hmm. That's just human nature. We always have to push the limit to learn where the boundaries are. And then it naturally brings itself back. So yeah, I think you're going to see people using AI to produce music, and that's going to kind of show itself what it really is in a few years. In terms of if it's ethical or not, I mean, I don't know, because we're already using AI. So what's the difference between using a MIDI instrument, you know, versus using an AI software that's just using that same MIDI instrument, except for you're just telling it what to play for you, you know? So I won't comment on the ethics or the morality of it, but I will say that I am a fan of technology. I think technology is what is responsible for the access that we have as artists today. You know, you and I could not be doing what we're doing without the advancement of technology. Mm-hmm. And so I think we just need to be careful, use our best judgment. Don't be lazy, you know, try to still be creative and own the process. But at the same time, if something can make your process faster, then why not do that? So I think it's, I think it's nuanced. I don't think there's a black or white, you know, perspective on it, but time will tell.
Yeah. I think that's true. I think personally it enhanced my life. I mean, I love creating AI art, you know, Midjourney and Dolly, and it's just fun to me. I mean, the curiosity side of me comes out, and I get to create something that, you know, I was always a painter. I was naturally a painter, but you know, creating, having AI is like, and like my background here is AI. Midjourney. Yeah. I created this from out of my head.
Oh, that's cool. Were
like, yeah, I created that. And they'd be like, oh, you can't copyright it. Well, here's the thing with that. If I wrote the command, which to me is a code that they simulated through Midjourney, why can't I copyright it? I still created it. Even if they stuff from the internet, I created that prompt. They didn't create the prompt.
Right.
I still think it should be copyrighted, but you know, some artists disagree, and you know,
I think you're going to see that, but it's like I said, it's going to take years for that to be reflected in the culture and the laws. I mean, look at the music industry. We're still fighting laws, you know, streaming laws and royalty laws that were written in the 50s, you know, we're still trying to rewrite them, you know? So it's just human nature. It just, things take time.
And that's a good segue, because the whole, what just happened with Spotify about them saying that they're not going to pay the small artists the full royalties. It's going to be some type of pool, and whoever got the most streams get the most money.
I think it's 1,000. You need to have 1,000 streams minimum, right, in order to get paid.
Yeah.
I think they're still paying on a pool. They've always paid on a pool.
Okay.
But I think now it's if your song doesn't have 1,000 streams, you're not going to get paid. But if you do the math on that, it's like 3 cents. So, but the amount of artists that are on Spotify, the amount of songs on Spotify that are under 1,000 streams, that amounts to over $40 million that is going to be reallocated to artists whose songs are 1,000 streams or above. So when you zoom out like that and you see the whole picture, especially when you're talking about 3 cents, right? And you're like, okay, well, it's 3 cents or 30 cents or something like very, like nothing, you know, like it's not going to make a difference. You start to see like, okay, I kind of get that. But here's the thing about Spotify and what artists have to understand about streaming. The simple concept, well, it's not simple, but the common concept of supply and demand plays out a lot here, because you have to understand that there are, I think, over 40 or 50,000 songs uploaded to Spotify per day, right?
Yeah.
So needless to say, competition is fierce. From an economics perspective, right? that means the supply is way higher than the demand, right? Like there's so much more music than people even have the time to listen to, right?
That part.
So you have to think about it like, okay, also from the financial perspective, if artists want to just get 1,000 streams and, you know, and let that make them enough money to live off of or to, you know, reinvest into their music, that money's got to come from somewhere, right? So there's two options, right? One option is Spotify can start charging people $150 a month to use their service, and that might cover it, right? Mm. The other option, and this is the worst option for artists, is that Spotify puts a paywall up for who can put their music out. Right. Mm. Because if you want to get paid more, then that means there's going to have to be less music to pay out. Right. And that's kind of what they're doing with the 1,000 stream thing, especially because it's like cents, right? That nobody's really going to miss, but total together, it's $40 million. Right. But what they're going to have to do is if you want your 10,000 streams even to pay you more money, you know, let's say $500 a month, that's 50 cents a stream. Right. Or I might be getting my math wrong there, but that means that those other 47 cents are going to have to come from somewhere, which means that in order for Spotify to be able to afford that, they're going to have to limit the number of songs on the platform, right? Which means it's going to create a barrier for artists who maybe can't afford to put music out, right? So maybe they'll charge artists $30 a month, right? To have music on the platform, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's gonna, I mean, $30 a month is affordable for most people, but it's going to be like another barrier to entry.
Another wall.
To release the music. So again, a nuanced conversation. I see both sides. You know, I would love to just get 1,000 streams and make $1,000, but unfortunately, in order for that to happen, it would mean that you and probably 10,000 other artists don't get to put their music online. And
you know what? That's a good perspective. Yeah, that's a good perspective.
Got to see the whole picture, you know.
It does make sense because, you know, someone else said something to what you just said on YouTube, and I was like, you know, because it is a lot of artists out now. So it is kind of hard to pay everybody the same. But wouldn't that get people into the .com era, like creating their own website? This should behoove them to say, okay.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, like, let me sell my song. Let me push this website. Let me put ads on this website.
Absolutely.
You know, I just took an ads training maybe last year. I think it was last year. Yeah, last year. And it changed my life. Like, the way to target and get the right people to hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like you're kind of pulling their attention to you. And even if there's a million others out there, you're the one that did the ad. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's important for artists to learn ads.
Absolutely.
And I'm not knocking these streaming platforms, but I think you should push people to your website.
Absolutely.
Because then you're the king, because that's your business. That's your baby.
You own it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think another big thing that artists miss with this whole streaming thing is you don't own your business. Your business is completely reliant on the Spotify algorithm. You know, same thing with posting to social media, same thing with, you know, doing any sort of algorithmic promotion where you're reliant on the technology of some other company. And that's, again, not to shameless self-promotion. That's why I teach sync, because you're completely in control of the music that you put out and the money that comes to you. There's only one other person involved, and it's your sync agency, who is completely and 100% incentivized to make you be successful, because if you get a placement, they get paid too. So it's this perfect system that benefits everyone involved. And there's no Spotify, there's no algorithm, there's no chance involved, you know. And something like Facebook ads, like you're saying, I'm assuming you're talking about Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook and Google.
And Google, yeah. These ads, you can design them to be intentional. And so where you're in control of the results, because after you run a couple of ads, you start to learn, oh, okay, if I put this much money, I get these results, right? So then you can start to be like, okay, well, if I want these results, how much money do I have to put in, right? And then you become in control of your business, as opposed to, well, I'll just put my music on TikTok and hope for the best, you know, which it works for some people, and I'm not knocking it. And if you find that fun and valuable, I've done it, we've all done it, right? But but you're playing against thousands of competitors, first of all, and you're playing on chance, because the TikTok algorithm is designed to basically, you know, make you keep coming back, keep posting. It doesn't want you to win, because if you win, then you take your audience off of TikTok. Right.
Yep.
They don't want that.
Right? I like it. You said that. Yeah.
So then you end up getting stuck, right? Because you're beholden to TikTok. Your entire fan base is on TikTok. You need them, right? And again,
it's stressful that way.
Yeah, exactly. It's stressful, and you don't own it. You're not in control. There's no other way for you to get in touch with your fans who love you and want to support you and want to give you their money, but you know, if you take them off of the TikTok, then TikTok punishes you for that, you know. So it's like, it's just this whole thing where you're giving up control over your music business as opposed to, you know, kind of learning the paths less followed and where they have the most reward. So anyway, I'm off on a tangent, but I'm glad you brought
that up. No, I love it. This is great. Yeah. I think because you're on the same frequency as me as far as like music and stuff. And I already felt that when I read your information, I already felt your energy, because this is the thing, the entrepreneur shot side, this is, people understand music is a business first and art is great. A lot of people can sing, but business is first to get that income coming in. And this is why you should book somebody, you know, a coach like Nisma to teach you guys how to do this. So your coaching program, is it one-on-one or is it like in a group?
It's a course and a group coaching. So you get 1 year of access. And my favorite thing that I'm excited to that I get to bring artists is, so every 3 months, I actually bring in sync licensing agents from my network and music supervisors, and you get to pitch your music to them straight away. So not only am I teaching you how to make music for sync with the course and the program, and you're getting feedback, but I'm also giving you every 3 months opportunities to actually pitch your music to these people, make relationships with these people. For the right people, I'm guaranteeing that at the end of the year, you'll get at least two of your songs signed into one of these agencies, or your money back. That's how confident I am that, you know, people are going to succeed in this type of environment.
Well, this is very inspiring, because I mean, come on, y'all. She a boss. She got a song. You got a song placed in, what was it, Love Island?
Yeah.
I was listening to a song. She said, oh my God, you know, because I'm a TV girl, and I'll be listening to these songs because, you know, the artists and me. And I said, okay, this pop sound, they like that type of vibe on the violin and all that stuff. And that song was the bomb that you have. And like, that's impressive. So
thank you.
Come on, y'all. Y'all have to work with Nisma, because she's somebody that's not just talking. You got a lot of people online that's just talking. They don't really, you know, she's not just talking. She's doing the work, you know, and sometimes we need a mentor. We want to do everything on our own. But if you find the right person, everything just blows up. That's how it works. So that's why I'm like, man.
Well, thank you. Definitely. Come on over. Anyone who feels like they resonate with what I'm talking about, you're more than welcome. to talk and see if I can help you. You know, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything they don't want, but I am looking to help people who are interested in helping themselves. And that's one of my joys in life. So.
Yes. Snap, snap. Yeah. So before we, you know, cause now we're getting past the time, but
it's been too much fun.
We got to do a part two. We got to do like a,
we do
session of something. Cause
totally.
We're vibing on here. Maybe we can help. I feel like we can help change some lives with music, because a lot of these conversations, there's so much information on YouTube and it's great, but a lot of these conversations aren't being, we need more conversations like this about independence and strength.
Absolutely.
You know, and trying to help people, not so much just be followers, but really take control of their life, because you don't want to end up doing something you don't want to do for the rest of your life. You want to have a fruitful life. Yeah. So what is one of the favorite things you can say about being an entrepreneur and being an artist? Like, what is your favorite thing?
That it naturally leads you toward financial and creative freedom. Because when you own your own, not just your own assets, but when you own your own system, so your own business system, you get to decide when you work, how often you work, why you work, why you show up, the projects you work on, the projects you don't work on. You're your own boss. I mean, it's just... it's a life that is truly by design, by your design, and not by the design of society and, you know, the powers that be, you know, get up, go to work 30 years, retire, then maybe travel and then die, right? Very sad existence that probably 99% of people experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking that, you know, and there's good people far and wide who have done good things for the world. But for me, I love that business provides that level of freedom and that level of intentionality in life. And as an artist, as a musician, I feel that, you know, I wasn't born with this music bug on accident. I feel that music is really important and really impactful on the world. And if I get to make music and also be free, then that's living, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, man. And see, every time you say something, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to ask something else. Start making these shows back to an hour again. Why did I do?
Yeah, let's do it.
What did I do? No, I was going to ask you, like, what does success mean to you exactly? Because what happens is some people have this warp idea of success. Like, I got to be, I don't know, Taylor Swift to be deemed successful in music. What if I think of somebody that just maybe... just didn't get Taylor Swift way, but can't they just be as successful as Taylor Swift in a different way?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it depends on, this is going to sound a little philosophical, but I define success for myself as how at peace with myself I feel, and how in alignment how aligned I feel with my, you know, values and purpose and whatever else, you know. However, that's me, you know. So if somebody is saying that they feel that their purpose is to become the next Taylor Swift and they won't be happy until that happens, then go become Taylor Swift. You've got to do it. You've got to, and don't stop, and don't you dare, because Taylor Swift changes lives. As corny as some of her white boy hating songs can be, you know, she really has made a big difference in a lot of people's lives. And I love her. I think her songwriting is really, I think she's truly a genius, and she's a business genius too, just side note. But anyway, you know, so it's, but to lock yourself into that just arbitrarily can be harmful, just to say like, oh, well, if I haven't reached the tippy top, then I haven't, then my journey and my success isn't valid at all. I don't think that that's a healthy perspective. And if you, cause again, if you feel like, you know, being yourself is, you know, just making songs quietly in your bedroom and just having a nice solid following of people and a nice steady income, then you're successful as long as that's how you feel is true for you, you know? So I don't know if I'm expressing this or communicating this clearly, but that's how I define success for myself. And also to note that that can change throughout life. And I think often does, you know, so.
You just said something like snap, because it does change the way I felt at 20 and how I feel now.
Absolutely.
Just completely different.
Totally. Like, there was a time when I wanted to be famous. And now I'm like, I would do anything to avoid fame because my values are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I wasn't educated enough. I wasn't thinking critically when I was 20. I used to think fame meant money. Mm-hmm. But fame doesn't always mean money. You can be famous and broke. Mm-hmm. So I realized I'd rather just be behind the scenes a little bit and just make that income so I can travel and meet other people and sing all around the world. That's what I'd rather do now.
Yeah.
I said I'd rather just have a little ukulele, sing my weird music, because I say my music kind of avant-garde a little bit. You know,
you love it.
Avant-garde. A little
avant-garde. That's so funny.
No, I found that word. This is funny. I was on Broad Jam. I was trying to find, I was like, I want to submit some of my music. And the guy said he's looking for avant-garde music. So I started listening to some of it. And I said, oh, I got some songs kind of weird like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's my mission, is to tell avant-garde abstract, because I created my own genre called abstract soul.
Yeah.
Abstract soul artists to be confident. Because mm-hmm. if everybody pushes, then it's just going to become a thing. It's going to become normal.
Yep.
Because now it's becoming more normal now. You hear more avant-garde, garde artists. You hear more abstract artists, because now it's just becoming more norm.
Yeah.
Normal.
Absolutely.
So, man. So that's one of the things that I'm pushing for, is the artists to really just be themselves, because it's fun that way. Because when I was trying to be somebody I wasn't, it turned sour. Like, I was bored. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's boring. I don't do this.
Yeah.
But then when I just got back to being myself, I was like, this is fun. And I remember when I was on MySpace, so MySpace was, I don't know what it was about MySpace. I don't know if you experienced this too, but at the time, MySpace, people was really listening to your music. Like, people was really listening.
Yeah.
It didn't matter if you weren't famous or not. I was like, and I remember that somebody from Bad Boy, I didn't say his name, wrote me and said, you are an unorthodox is F. I don't know why anybody's listening to you.
Oh, I wow.
said, you come on my page telling me I'm unorthodox because you don't understand me. I said, and he was like, don't you? Because at the time, Rihanna just came out. He was me and her were kind of same age. He was like, why don't you just start doing some Rihanna songs and you'll start blowing up? I said, I'm already blowing up with what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
You know, at the time I couldn't keep the momentum because I didn't have a recording studio. I didn't have the means at that then. Only 20 years old. I didn't have any cheese to keep that up. But it was like that defining moment when people wanted to hear something different. Because I did a remake of Sign of Family Stones, If You Want Me to Stay, and I changed the whole lyrics around. And a lot of people don't know Sign of Family Stones. So you got new kids, little kids listening. They're like, I like this. They don't really listen to a remake of an old school song. I was bringing back some soul. And it's
nice. Love to hear
I just
that.
Had to bring that story up because
I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah, because the way MySpace was, it just felt more, I don't know, authentic. And TikTok is kind of like dancing with MySpace as far as authenticity. Mm-hmm. And they have a music. I think you can add your music now and have a catalog and stuff. And that's fine, you know, but I'm not adding it. But I'm now promoting the website, promoting my website.
I love that. So the two things you said that stuck out to me were, you know, make the music that feels true to you, because it's so easy to imitate other people, but if it means it's easy for you, it's easy for everybody else too, right? So you're already losing if you're doing that, right? Because you're making it harder for yourself. It's much easier to be you because you're you and nobody else is, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is, it's the one point you just made and it slipped my brain.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It's going to come back to me. But the website. The website. No, the website.
Yes.
And that goes back to what I was saying about owning your business. Because if you can direct traffic to your website and capture those leads, you know, actually, which, you know, is just a term for like their contact information, right? Then they become your, you know, their information becomes yours, right? And you can use it to further your goals without the agenda of TikTok and all these other platforms. So,
you know what? That's true. And you can, and the thing is, if somebody is intimidated by tech or whatever, get on Shopify or get on, you know, and of course Fiverr has people too, but I'd say Shopify is the easiest place to start because at least you can kind of paste and stuff, drop in, select, and it's easier to use. And it's better than Wix to me because it's more, it's in the search engines. It's just better site. So I would say use Shopify.
Yeah, definitely. And,
you know, they also have Shopify people that can help you. If you have the money, you can pay them to help you. Cause I had to code some stuff in myself to make it the way I want it. And I still don't have exactly where I want, but it's a website and it's still functional and it looks good. So don't be intimidated by
Absolutely. And you don't need anything overly fancy, you know, something simple that just gets people in your inbox and there's a way for you to share your music and make some money. It's all you need.
I love it. So what? So I'm gonna ask you one or two more questions, and I'll let you go.
Yeah.
So what is your songwriting process? Because you know, I had someone say, you know, I had a song called Chocolate Man. It wasn't melodic. You know, it was like, it's not melodic, but it's a good song.
Yeah.
And then I had, you know, and then I've worked with producers that make me melodic. And I just, when I write, I don't know what it is. I may not be melodic when I write. What?
Sure.
Does somebody always got to be melodic, or how? You know, what's your advice?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, so my songwriting process is I tend to work with concepts. So if I get like a good idea for a song, that tends to motivate me to start writing. And I usually start writing the lyrics or the ideas, and then I will adjust the melodies as I see fit. So if I feel like there could be a stronger melody, you know, I'll write the stronger melody. And then, but at the end of the day, what I'm going for is the feeling, right? So when I'm listening back to what I've written, everything, every part, every line, every word has to hit me a certain way, or else I feel like it's not done for me. And I call that intentional songwriting. And so I guess you could say it's intentional songwriting in that I'm not making songwriting decisions just to say that I finished a song, you know, and this is more for my own artist stuff. I won't do that for, you know, sync stuff, because that can be a lot simpler, less complicated, but I won't stop writing until I feel like it gives me that feeling, which is hard to describe, right? But you know what I'm talking about. If you know what I'm talking about, right? The feeling where it's like, yes, this is it, right? That's I gotta have that feeling throughout the whole song, or else it's not done. So that's kind of my process.
I love that, because that's how I feel. Like, if I don't feel it, I'm like, man, it don't even matter how good it sounds. If I don't feel it, I ain't putting it out.
Exactly.
And that's so true. So it's just staying true to yourself more so. And then if you know, I just think sometimes, I guess for certain, like Love Island or certain type of shows, you might have to be a little bit more melodic, but at the same time, still pitch everything you can.
Absolutely.
Pitch everything you got.
Yeah, there's a place for everything, and you don't have to be super deep with sync stuff, which is fun. It allows it to just be less serious too. And you're just making songs because it's fun and they get placed and, you know, you get paid. It's great.
Man, I'm excited. I'm excited to get into syncing, because it's one of those things where you're making money, do what you want to do. You're chilling and stuff. I mean, that's the icing on the cake to success. For me and my situation, since I'm also an entrepreneur, and then just putting that sync licensing in.
What else do you
live my life that way? Man, travel to Africa, start singing and stuff.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to do with the ukulele.
Yes. Amazing.
So what's a saying or a quote that you go by?
Oh man. So many. Quote that I go by. Oh, I'd have to think for a minute. I don't know. There's just so many. It's gonna come to my head. How about this one? If you want to know what your future looks like, look at your today. And what that basically means is our lives usually don't change unless we intentionally make them change. So the idea is that what your day looks like today is likely what your day will look like tomorrow, and then after, and then after, right? Unless you intentionally sit down today and are like, okay, I'm going to do today differently. And then you carry that into tomorrow, and then, right? Because we only ever have today, right? Like, yeah, 3 weeks doesn't really exist. It's all theoretical. So really all we have is today, and then the concept of tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea is that, you know, because I think we get in our heads a lot about like, oh, 10 years, I'm going to be a millionaire, and I'm going to be have this, you know, I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week, and I'm, you know what I mean? And it's like, great. Yeah. Those are great goals. We all want those. But what are you doing today that's going to get you there in 10 years? Because there's not going to be some magic moment between now and then where it just starts to happen for you. It's just not. It's not life. It's not how it works. And so I think of that often, especially when I'm feeling like resistance to something, or I'm feeling afraid of, you know, making a certain move or whatever. You know, I just remind myself, you know, I'm not going to get where I want to be unless I'm doing something, anything today to make that happen.
Man, you a sage one. We are definitely on the same frequency.
I love it.
You know, because I personally don't believe in the word hope. And I know that that's a big thing. Like, oh, you know, like grew up on hope from my family and just people saying, I hope I get to the mall, or I hope I get that job. It's like, I don't like the word hope. I feel like I'm going to get it or I'm not. I just say, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's not, because I feel hope to me is almost like a crutch saying, maybe I don't got to do it. Maybe I don't have to study and learn that cybersecurity or learn how to make that beat. I hope. You know, I don't like it. It's like you're sitting back.
It's so disempowering.
So when you just said that, you made me think about the word hope and how, what are we doing today to say, okay, I want to be, if you want to be out of a regular job, what are you doing each day to get there? And it's not that you, you know, you can't get on TikTok and YouTube and say, oh, this person made $1 million selling t-shirt overnight. We can't copy them. We don't know exactly what they did. They don't always tell you. And so you have to say, okay, what is it that I'm going to do today for me that I can do that's going to get me to the next level? And it's almost having, adopting a sense of stoicism. And stoicism, I started researching that.
Oh, I love that.
And I said, being in, you know, entertainment and tech and all these other things doing, I said, you got to be kind of stoic because, you know, you're going to have times where you're just going to get a little irritated. But if you don't bounce back from it, and you stay slumber for weeks, you just set yourself back more.
Oh yeah.
When you could have just given it maybe a few, you know, a few minutes to an hour or whatever and say, okay, this is what I'm about to do, about the game time. But don't talk bad about yourself in the mix. You got to fight with yourself daily. And that's what I had to freaking learn. And that's how you get to be a successful artist and entrepreneur, is the mind.
Oh yes.
The mind is so powerful. I didn't know how powerful it was until
I'm gonna give you snaps for that.
Yes. I was like, our mind is powerful. You can believe, you can make yourself believe you're the worst person ever, the worst artist ever. And sometimes you get to that compare situation where, man, this girl's a good singer. I should be singing like her. I should be doing this. No, no, you cannot do that, because then it becomes boring. You're not doing what you want to do, it's not being yourself. That's the thing. And the mind can make you believe that. Or your mind can say, you know what? I like my lane. I like this. I don't want to be Mariah. I don't want to be Whitney. I love them. I love who they are, but I want to be Sequoia.
Absolutely.
And it took me a long time to get there, because I was like, oh, I got same like I'm in church. Ah, I don't want to do that. I wanna, what if I want to have a smooth, smoky voice like Nina Simone? I want to chill. And I think that's one of the things that it's so, you got to stand 10 toes down with that. And guess what? The world will follow you. Because you stand at 10 toes down with that.
Yeah, because absolutely. Because you give them permission by actively being yourself. You give them permission to be themselves and accept their own journey. So it's like an energetic thing too.
Yes. I mean, so real quick, I keep going on. What advice can you give somebody that's sad right now about like their life is not going the right way and they're trying to be an artist. Their parents don't agree with their career, their boyfriend, mm-hmm. girlfriend, whoever. What advice can you give them to stay mentally strong?
I would say adopt the belief that you are always exactly where you are meant to be. And once you embody that belief, life will start to show you all the lessons that it's trying to teach you through the pain, through the perceived negativity, right? Which I'm not saying it's not, and I'm not trying to belittle anyone's pain. But what I am saying is, if we are adopting this victim mentality of like, woe is me, my life is terrible, everything is working against me, then we're going to believe that. And our beliefs, like you're saying, our mind informs our decisions, our behaviors. So we're more likely to act like victims as opposed to people who are in charge of our lives. So if you can sort of switch the, you know, flip the script and decide, you know what, even though there's all this crap around me and nothing seems to be going my way, I'm going to choose to believe that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be right now. And when you actually start to believe that, you will see, oh, you know what? That's an opportunity to learn more about that. That's an opportunity to face this insecurity in myself, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm, I love that. I call it mind warping.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's just that warp. And, you know, and I feel, you know, just as people in Palestine and Congo and all that, I feel sorry for them because sometimes I feel like, you know, they're probably not where they're supposed to be, but
sure,
you know, and it's sometimes.
Well, they're true victims. Yeah. They're the definition of a victim, you know?
Yeah.
They're having violence thrown at them against their will. You know, if for them to feel like a victim would be true, you know, and nobody would say you're not a victim. So it's not like, you know, I'm not talking about toxic positivity. Like, oh, the world's blowing up, I'm just happy. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, you know, if you can accept the circumstances around you and not view yourself as the victim of it, unless you are actually a victim, right? Of like a crime or an aggression, right? Or violence. But if it's your life circumstances that just feel out of, you know, out of place or out of alignment, you know, the mentality can really make a big difference as to how you work your way out. That's all I'm saying.
Man, that was the bomb. You said they're the true victims.
Yeah.
This is an all-time fact. We're in the United States. Mm-hmm. So technically you can go work at McDonald's tomorrow if you have to get some work.
Absolutely.
I was on a cruise, but I was singing for Carnival Cruise Lines. And one of the girls in there, she was from Germany. She said, I'm from a small town. She said, if I go back home, I have nothing. I'll get blown up.
Yeah.
She said, you can go home right now and go work at McDonald's. I can't.
Yeah.
That was a mind warp for me at 23. Cause I was like, I didn't, you know, for me to be on the boat wasn't my, you know, I realized it wasn't my thing.
Sure.
But
yeah.
But the thing is, that was a reality check that my life wasn't so bad because I thought my life was bad, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And because she can't even go to McDonald's. I can go home and go to McDonald's, work at Family Dollar. She can't do that.
Yeah, we can
get to
claim unemployment if we can't get a job at McDonald's, you know? Like, we can get paid at least something for the most part, you know, if we can't find work. So we have systems in place that allow us that privilege to kind of get by, you know? So anyway, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, that was some sage gems right there when you said they're the true victims. I'm this going to blow up on TikTok because that part, you know,
yes,
that part is really putting a light to the United States and some other countries that have it good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just putting that light. So I just want to thank you for coming on here and bless
us.
Thank you. Oh, tell everybody where to follow you at, where to book you at. I mean, I'm going to put it in the show notes, but. Just shout it out.
Totally. So you can find me on my website, right? So nismaosman.com/call. If you want to get in touch with me, and from there you can find out more about me and or you can find me on Instagram just at Nisma Osman, my first and last name. And if you need to know how to spell it, like Sequoia said, it'll be in the show notes. So it's been a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Everybody for listening. Oh, you're welcome, man. I'm just blessed. I'm so blessed to be able to do a podcast. I'm blessed to be here, man. I didn't ever thought I'd be doing this, to be honest. So I'm so blessed. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in, subscribe and share. And I thank you all for tuning in. All right. Peace.